I'll be speaking about today's epistle reading. It's read every year on the third Sunday of Lent. And why this one? Well, today, as you see, is the Sunday called the Veneration, Sunday of the Veneration of the Cross. We venerated the cross. We're taught that it's put at this point in the middle of Lent to give us strength and encouragement to continue. But also, it is a reminder of the Lord's sacrifice on the cross, which he offered as the priest and the gift. And that's what we're going to be celebrating, you know, during Holy Week. And that's what this particular epistle reading is going to underscore about the Lord's priesthood. So St. Paul is speaking to the Hebrew Christians who had come, who were Jews, previously Jews. And they were familiar with the Old Testament Bible and the Old Testament priesthood. And he wants to show that Jesus Christ is the ultimate priest, that the Old Testament pointed to Jesus' priesthood, and that Jesus' priesthood is superior to the Old Testament priesthood. So the characteristics of the Old Testament priesthood are the following. Priests were chosen, not self-appointed. They are chosen from among men, that is, human beings, and not chosen from angels. They are appointed to act on behalf of human beings in relation to God, and they are appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. They are merely human, and therefore they are weak. They must offer first sacrifices for their own sins and then for the sins of other people. And since they are also beset by weakness, they can have empathy. They can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward. Those are the words that Paul uses, ignorant and wayward. And by ignorant, we mean those who sin because they don't know any better. And the wayward are those who do know what's right and wrong, but they do wrong out of habit, addiction, weakness of will, etc. So how is Jesus' priesthood similar and also superior to the Old Testament priesthood? One, the Old Testament priesthood was instituted by the prophet Moses. God told the prophet Moses to choose his brother Aaron to be the first priest. Similarly, Jesus was chosen. He did not make himself priest. He did not glorify himself. After all, he said in the Gospel of John, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. Glorifying me is the Father, who you say is your God." He was speaking to the Jews. But he was chosen not by God's prophet, but directly by God the Father, who said, as it's recorded in the Psalms, "You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." That's the words of the Father saying that, okay? And Jesus wasn't a prophet's brother, like Aaron was, but rather the very Son of God, as again it says in the Psalms, "You are my Son, today I have begotten you." Okay? A little superior to Old Testament. Secondly, the Old Testament priests were human. Jesus was human, but also divine, incarnate God, God and man in one person. Another superiority. Third, the Old Testament priests were, like all humans, weak, and therefore they had to offer sacrifice for their own sins. But because of this, they could also be empathetic towards people. Jesus did not sin, so he had no need to offer sacrifice first for himself. But he did undergo every temptation, and therefore he too can empathize with us. Number four, the Old Testament priest offered sacrifices only for people who asked for them, who brought gifts to the temple, animals, and food to be ritually offered in sacrifice. Jesus offered the sacrifice for all people, for all of humanity, unasked. He offered himself as the gift for the sacrifice to God his Father. He was both the priest and the gift, the offerer and the one offered. Another superiority. Then Paul says something about Melchizedek, right? So how is Jesus a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek? So we know very little about Melchizedek. In Genesis chapter 14, so this is going way back, right? we read in the time of Abraham, it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. Okay. So how is Jesus like Melchizedek? First, by divine providence, the Bible is silent about Melchizedek's parents, his race, his date of birth, and his time of death. It's like he has no father, no mother, no genealogy, and no beginning or end. Similarly, Jesus Christ, as a man, has no father. As God, he has no mother, no genealogy, no genealogy, no beginning, no end. As it says in the book of Isaiah, and who will declare his generation? Which is to say, who will tell us anything about his unoriginate and eternal nature? Impossible. Second similarity, Melchizedek was a king and a priest, it says. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God the Most High. Jesus Christ was also a king. This was revealed by the archangel Gabriel at the Annunciation. He said to the Virgin Mary, among other things, the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, who was the king, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Book of Luke. And also in the book of John, Jesus himself admitted he was a king when he said to Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Christ was also a priest, as God his Father attested and as recorded in the Psalms, I have begotten you from the womb before the morning star. The Lord swore and will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And it's that line, actually, that Paul quotes in his own epistle. So the third similarity with Melchizedek is that the ordination to priest of both Melchizedek and Jesus Christ was directly from God, unseen and mysterious. Another similarity, Melchizedek brought out bread and wine when he blessed Abraham. Christ changed bread and wine by his almighty blessing into his body and blood, and he gave these to his holy disciples and sanctified them. And a final similarity, the Bible is silent about Melchizedek's death. So according to St. Paul, quote, he has neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. And Christ, again, according to St. Paul, holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able for all time to save those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Again, the book of Hebrews. So the point of all this is that Paul was telling the Jews that the Old Testament priesthood, the priesthood instituted with Aaron and the Levites by Moses, was destined to be superseded eventually by another superior priesthood, the one according to the order of Melchizedek. He demonstrates that Jesus Christ is that superior high priest and that he fulfills all the prophecies about that. And that's important because of what I preached on this epistle last year. Of course, you remember, but just as a reminder, since we have such a superior, ultimate priest in Jesus Christ who exceeds what the Old Testament priests were, okay? Because he's eternal, he's sinless, and all those things that I just said, Paul exhorts his readers and also us, keep the faith, for we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our high priest is sympathetic and empathetic with us because he has been tempted. And because of all that, ask him for grace with confidence. Remember, he says, approach the throne of grace and ask for help in anything that we need. So we have a great high priest who can sympathize with us. And so let's go to him and ask for what we need with confidence.